through the.
Fight the good fight every moment. Every minute, every day.
Welcome back to True Threats Radio. It's your host, Charlie Giuliani. Gee, I'm still waiting for the Trinitarians to ring the phone off the hook and debate with me. I wonder why. They're not calling. I wonder why that is. Trinitarians, could it be that you can't defend your... Hey, we got a caller. I wonder if it's a Trinitarian. We got Larry in Louisiana. Sorry, guys, for the antagonistic attitude, but, you know, it's time that we stop this game. Because for centuries, they've been calling people heretics, burning them, stoning them, burying them alive, you know, putting them on the rack and stretching them out for not believing in this doctrine. And they've got nothing to hang a hook on. So we're going to take this thing back by storm. Go ahead, Larry in Louisiana. Welcome to the show.
Yeah. Well, you see how they get that three-part deal? You have a spirit, don't you?
Yeah.
That's one. You have a body, don't you?
Yeah.
That's two. You got a soul?
Well, the words are actually interchangeable. But yeah, I know what you're saying. Go ahead.
That's where they get this three separate individuals, but really it's the same. Also, they just can't think straight. It is schizophrenia because you have a past, you have a present, and you have a future. So you could say that your soul is a collection of everything in the past. The present is your body, and the future is where your spirit will be. You see, but they don't see it all as one.
Well, and then they use that ice cube thing, you know. Well, water can be a solid, liquid, and a gas.
Yeah, that's the way it goes. Anyway, I just thought I'd call you and throw that in. Yod, hey, wah, hey, hey.
Yeah, I appreciate your call. I'm kind of disappointed, though. I was hoping you were going to be a Trinitarian, but I'm not surprised. They never do call. All right, thanks, Larry. Call anytime. Yeah, you know, folks, this is how it is. You can go, and I've done it. You know, I've done battle with major theologians. Well, it wasn't a battle, actually. They wouldn't do battle, but I mean, I've attempted to. I've gone and confronted them directly. I've dealt with, you know, ministers from just about every denomination out there you can name. I'll give you one example. Dave Hunt. Some of you guys might recognize him. That's a big name in mainstream Christianity. You know, he's written some good books. I've read some of them. They're pretty good. I called him once. And I got to know him on a first-name basis. You know, he knew who I was. We would have discussions once in a while. And this is back again when I was a theology major, you know. So when I uncovered the Trinity, I'm like, oh, wow, I want to hear what he's going to say about this. I call him up. And at first, you know, they think that you're just an average Joe that hasn't looked into this much. And they can give you the same poppycock answers and that you walk away satisfied thinking that everything's A-okay. And, oh, thanks for saving my world, you know. But So that's what he was doing at first. He was giving me the same superficial, you know, know-nothing answers. But when I showed him that those answers weren't adequate, and I obviously knew what I was talking about and wasn't your average dope that sits in the pulpit like a sponge and absorbs everything they hear and don't look into things, when he realized that, all of a sudden he became very busy. When I first called him, he's like, oh, sure, what's on your mind? I got plenty of time. Once I brought it up, I mean, once I showed him that his answers weren't cutting it and that I needed something better than that to base my belief in this ridiculous doctrine on, suddenly this man who had all kinds of time on his hands became very busy. Oh, you know, brother, I just remembered I do have an engagement. I have to get going, but maybe we could talk about this some other time. Well, I tried at least two other times to call him, and he would have his secretary ask, oh, who is it? And once he heard it was me, I can't talk right now. Isn't that interesting? Dave Hunt, for those of you who know him, I'm sure many of the listeners do. Dave Hunt could not answer my questions about the Trinity. Guys across the board, professors, theologians across the board, ministers from all different denominations, they can't. In fact, they won't answer my questions. If you're a believer in the Trinity, you really have my sympathy because you've been duped. You know, you might know the truth about 9/11 and some other things that are going on, but if they got their hands around your neck with that one, you're every bit as much their slave as if you did believe the official 9/11 story. I'll talk about that some more when I get back, folks. Stick with us.
Hi, this is Lance Keltner, and I firmly support Ron Paul as next president of the United States. That's why myself and New Disaster will be rocking San Antonio in support of Ron. It's going to be a great day of music. Don't miss it.
Congressman Ron Paul, champion of the Constitution, is coming to San Antonio July 28th. Come hear him talk about defending liberty at the...
Elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms. Eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
Do you know that you can go solar for under $1,200 now? Hi, this is Ken Solar. As you may have heard by now, I've been designing alternative energy packages for over a decade. The solar power generators that I produce will get you all the solar power you need for your household essentials. Your refrigerator, your freezer, lights, fans, electric blankets, TV, radio, clocks, phones, computers, and a lot more. No gas, no fumes, and they're totally silent. Each solar power generator comes complete with everything you'll need, including the solar panel, a 3,000-watt peak inverter, a step-by-step quick setup sheet, and battery backup. I reached that point in my life where I just didn't want to have to rely on everyone else anymore. You know, power companies, government. Anyway, getting yourself free from the utility grid is a lot easier than you might think. Are you ready to go solar? Give me a call now at 239-677-3073 or order them on my website at a 10% discount on kensolar.com. That's kensolar.com.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle, and today you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill. I'm going there right now.
Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
When I actually cover this one day in detail, I mean, I'm going to break it down. It's probably going to take several shows to do it. It might bore some of you, but hopefully not. I think you'll actually find it interesting, again, even if you're not a believer. But let's go first to, who did we have first? I think, this is a definite Trinitarian here. She bows before the triune God three times a day, once for the first God, once for the second, and then a third time for the third God. She's a dedicated Trinitarian. I'm joking, of course. Melissa in Austin.
Wash your mouth out. Lucky. No, that wouldn't be me. That might be some other Melissa. That wouldn't be me.
So you're a genuine monotheist. You actually believe in one God instead of three, yeah?
Wow. And I believe in his son, my Lord, Jesus Christ, who is a man.
Did you ever hear this argument? They'll say, I'm not a tritheist. I'm a Trinitarian.
Yeah, well,
they make a distinction as though there's such a thing as three gods that's one and three gods that's three.
Well,
bunk.
Charles, I'll tell you what. Logic gets left at the door when people talk about this thing if they programmed.
Don't question this.
Yeah,
it's a
mystery. I do.
You have to accept it.
Now, I wonder.
Same with 9/11, by the way. Don't question it. It's a mystery. Just accept it.
Well, no, that's not the mystery. The mystery that is that it was Jew and Gentile, whosoever believed can be the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, the body of believers.
And
we're the body. We're not the bride. We're the body.
Right. Don't question that Pastor X drives a Mercedes when he tells you to live a humble life either. Don't question that.
Yeah, and don't question that they're involved in monarch mind control either.
NLP. Nobody uses NLP more than organized religion. They're the biggest users of the NLP training program. All the big name churches too, all of them.
Well, let me something that was just said by the fellow before you were talking with him. Let me read you a verse out of Isaiah, and I'm not, you know, I'm more New Testament than Old Testament when it comes to, you know, what we literally stand on. But the Old Testament is there for our learning. And it pointed toward Jesus Christ coming. So in Isaiah 43:7 it says, "Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory, I have formed him, yea, I have made him." Now, are those words created, formed, and made synonymous, would you say?
Absolutely.
Well, except when you look them up in the Hebrew, they're all different words. Because if he wanted to say the exact same thing, God would have said, "I created, 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 I made, I made, I made, or I formed, I formed, I formed." He said three different things. So if we're going to rightly divide the word and see what it really says, if you do a little bit of studying into that verse and look up...
Yeah, we need to ignore those inconvenient facts, though.
Okay, let me just give a quick clarification there. He created spirit. He made soul, and he formed the human body out of the dust of the ground. He formed the body. He made the soul. He made them a living soul. He breathed into them breath life and made them a living soul. A living soul, it refers to the great sea creatures and the animals. Anything that had breath life has a soul life. And the word create, when it refers to spirit, that word create in the Hebrew, and I do not speak Hebrew, but I certainly can read studies about Hebrew, it's the word B-A-R-A, bara, and it means to make something out of nothing, something where there wasn't anything before.
Right.
So he created spirit. So he made, or he formed the body, he made them living souls, breathed into them breath life,
animals. Look at this. Trinitarians never address this, and when you bring it up, they change the subject like lightning in an instant. Paul says that one day Christ, in his time, will reveal who is the chief potentate, who only has immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see. Who is that? Paul says Christ is going to reveal somebody else other than himself, who is the chief potentate, who only, that is to say, only naturally possesses immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach, whom no man has seen. Who's the one whom no man has seen? Obviously, many people saw Christ, so this isn't Christ. Christ isn't going to reveal himself.
No, he was talking about his split personality.
No, seriously, Trinitarians, call me. Explain that one.
Anyway, back to this made, formed, and created. That goes back to rightly dividing. If you start by looking at what the word says instead of tradition, and you start to apply logic to the scriptures, God is not illogical. He didn't put his word in a form that we could not logically understand it.
Right.
And if you go back to that very first thing, only those who have spirit, the spirit of God in them, are the born-again ones, or the born from above, the ones that Jesus Christ poured out his gift to, or on, or in the day of Pentecost. Everything else is just body and soul. My dog has a soul, but she does not have God's spirit in her, because she can't believe that Jesus is her Lord and that God raised him from the dead. I mean, she's smart, but she's not that smart.
Right.
So you have to be accurate with what does the word say, why do you believe what you believe, and if it doesn't line up with Scripture, then it isn't true.
Right.
And so then you go to the Trinity, it's not true. It's not there.
No, of course not. I tell you what, Rita, Melissa, we got Rita and we got Dan and Mass on the line. I want to get to them. I'm curious to see.
All right, darling. You have a great day.
So, yeah, listen in. We'll see if we get any Trinitarians calling. I doubt it.
Yeah. I'll get some popcorn. This ought to be good.
Yeah, okay. Thanks for the call.
Okay, bye.
Let's go to Rita, also in Texas. Rita, welcome to the show. You there, Rita? I recognize that name. I know she's called in before. I don't think she's there. How about...
Hello?
Oh, you are there. Welcome
I am.
Yeah.
How do you define Trinitarian? I'd like to know the definition, because if I threw at you, how do you define spring? That's such a vague and ambiguous
word. This is what's amazing, is they'll condemn you if you're not a Trinitarian. But then, you ask them, 10 different Trinitarians to define the Trinity, and you're going to get 10 different answers. They don't even know what it is. You have to believe it, though. I'm not really sure what it is, but you have to believe it. That's what my pastor says. You got to believe that they are Trinity. You're not going to go to heaven. I mean, they don't even know what it entails. That's what's so amazing. But, yeah, let me state it. According to the official Trinitarian position, the one that they'll stone you for and excommunicate you and stretch you on the rack for, that God exists. There's one God, but he exists in three persons. Now, that's interesting. Trinitarians out there, call me and challenge me on this one. You claim, as Trinitarians, that God exists in three persons, plural, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, that each one is co-equal, has existed without beginning, and that they have the same position, power, and prerogatives. There are actually three persons that comprise this one God. Yet, looking to the Bible, that book they profess to follow but don't, the Bible only uses the word person once in association with God, and it's in the singular. It's in Hebrews 1, verse 8. It says that Christ is the express image of God's person. 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 There's only one person who is called God, and Christ isn't that person. He is the express image or reflection of that person. So there goes your doctrine right there, beloved Trinitarian friends. Why don't you call me and challenge me? Of course, you won't do it, will you? Anyway, do you have any more points?
First of all, it sounds to me like you're attacking the Catholic Church and the Catholic religion.
Guilty.
Excuse me? Absolutely.
Yep.
Okay. Absolutely. All right.
But I'm also attacking Protestantism, which follows the same dogma. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, Protestantism isn't united in that particular dogma, because there are certain Protestant religions that do not accept Jesus Christ as also being God and man. The other thing, too, that there's a big division between Catholicism and Protestantism is they don't even have the same Bible as a reference point. You have the King James Bible, and then in the English world, you have the Douay Rheims version of the Bible. And if you look at the history of where did the Bible come from, the Old and New Testament, you're having to go back to the Catholic religion and the Catholic Church, because they are the ones who
Rita, let me ask you something. Do you have a statue of Mary out in front of your house before which you bow before every day and address your prayers to?
I beg your pardon?
Do you have a statue of Mary in front of your house or in your bedroom somewhere that you pray to?
No, I don't pray to a statue. That's idolatry. That's idolatry.
Do you pray to Mary with your rosary beads?
I pray to God, and I pray to God praying the rosary. But I don't see any problems in praying the rosary, because many of the prayers to the rosary, you're dealing with the Our Father, you're talking about the Glory Be, you're talking about Hail Mary full of grace, which is
Glory Be. Okay, Rita, wait, hold it. Let me just, by your own statement you just made, you're not a Catholic and you're a heretic, because the Catholic Church is loaded with statues.
Now, who died and went to heaven and made you Pope?
Okay, Mary.
You see, you're not even here. You are on this radio program,
Rita,
and you're asking for someone to rebut, but yet you act just very much like what you allege. Now, I want to make a point.
You just admitted that.
The point I want. Hello.
You just claimed your own church as an idolatrous
religion. No, sir. I'm one of those Catholics that don't believe that Benedict the 16th is a pope, that he's a Jew on the throne. You don't know what you're talking about.
But that is Catholic doctrine, though. You're going against your
own
Catholic.
Are you a Catholic?
No.
Then that's like me going to a Jew that's going to discuss the Catholic religion.
All right, okay, hold on. Take some Prozac. We're going to go to commercial break. We'll be right back.
Woo!
Yeah, look at this.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
Imagine if powerful technology existed to help your body neutralize pathogens, revitalize cells, and intensify your immune system. How do you think that might affect your wellness and longevity? One of the most powerful breakthroughs in electromedicine was the multi-wave oscillator created by doctors Tesla and Lakovsky. More powerful and useful than Rife machines, Evenstar photonic multi-wave oscillators are designed to send trillions of life-enhancing frequencies deep into organic tissue to help eliminate chronic and acute wellness conditions at their source. Over the past 14 years, Evenstar users time and again report excellent results working with a wide range of wellness conditions. To learn why Evenstar may be your perfect wellness and longevity solution, visit evenstarforlife.com or call 888-333-5095. Serious wellness threats are on the rise. Don't you owe it to your family to explore this powerful technology today? Evenstarforlife.com, evenstarforlife.com, or 888-333-5095. That's 888-333-5095.
All right. Welcome back to Truth Hurts Radio. I think Rita has calmed down a little bit. Yeah, just a couple more minutes, Rita, because we got Dan in Mass. Poor guy's been waiting for a long time. I want to get to him. So what do you want to finish up what you were saying?
Yeah. First of all, I'd like to say that faith is a gift from God. You either have it or you don't. I personally believe that the biggest problem as far as the Catholic Church is concerned, aside from the religion, was when Constantine made the Catholic Church the state religion. But prior to that, you had the pagan religion that was a state religion. You had individuals, as a result of the Catholic Church being the state religion, you had a lot of abuses there. Furthermore, you also had the Jews infiltrating the clergy that went ahead and created a lot of abuses that were there. That's where the biggest mistake is. And as far as the Jesus is concerned, Jesus himself said when he was addressed by the apostles, they wanted to have him show them the Father, because all their understanding about God was that God was just the Father. And Jesus replied to them and said, "He who sees me sees the Father."
Yeah, I don't even think you're listening to your own words.
What do you mean by that?
You just said, the disciples said, show us the Father, show us God, show us the Father. That's who God is. They wanted Jesus to show him the Father.
That's where the Trinitarian, that is where the so-called description of the Trinity is supposed to have been taught. But, you know, St. Patrick,
there was no such thing. It didn't exist. It didn't emerge until the 4th century.
I don't even want to argue with someone who is an intellectually dishonest historical fraud. You know, if you want to have an honest debate,
Okay, let's see your honesty. Give me one verse right now that says there's a trinity that's comprised of three persons that makes up one God.
I don't have to. Because you don't really...
If you're intellectually honest, you should have something to back up what you're
saying. Well, let me let you know something,
produce, or I'm going to cut you off. Give me a verse that says that God is three in one.
Well, go
right
ahead
now.
And play
where?
The pseudo-pope. I could care less, you know?
You're not
interested in truth. All you are is interested in being a bully.
I don't need your kind of garbage. Okay, Dan in Mass. We're going to Dan in Mass. Just take a Prozac, lady, and go play with your rosary beads. Dan
Hello?
In Mass. Yeah, hey, how's it going?
Good, thanks. First, let me say I enjoy RVN. I listen to it all the time, and it's very informative, and I think it's doing great for getting the message of freedom out in liberty and what's going on in our government. But first, let me say that I'm not mad at you or angry with you in any way, okay? You and I may disagree. We'll talk. I'm not mad at anyone else who believes different than I do. We all ought to, whatever we believe, we ought to at least pray for one another, okay? And hopefully you and I can, we can talk and discuss, and maybe we can look at a few scripture verses, no yelling and no name calling, okay? Because I think that really, it takes away from the whole thing. Like this last call, I was very sad to hear the exchange of what went back and forth, but... First, let me just ask you one question, because I do believe the word Trinity is not in the Bible, but I do believe in the Godhead that we read in Colossians, that there are that three persons in the Godhead. And you just asked what scripture...
No, where do you get the idea that the word Godhead is a synonym for the word Trinity?
It's only if you look in 1 John 5, verse 7, it says that there are three that bear witness.
Yeah, no, but that has nothing to do with the word Godhead.
No, listen, please, let me finish. You're cutting me right off before I even begin. Do you believe? First, let me ask you a question. Do you believe that the Bible is the infallible Word of God? Do you believe in the Bible as the Word of God? Is just the book?
Well, yeah, I believe it's the.
Okay, then let's look at the Bible. What God says, not what I say, and not what you say. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, it says, "Now this is God speaking. Now, not John."
Yeah, you know what? Let's save some time. I know what the verse says, but read the next.
So the listeners can hear it.
Says the word.
There are a lot of people out there that don't hear. And you just asked the last
caller. Wait a minute. No, I know what you're saying, and I think everybody listening knows that verse quite well. They've got to
get it. Let me read it.
But
you're not even giving me a chance to read it.
All right, go ahead.
Here's the verse. 1 John 5, verse 7. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and we know the Word is Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost. There's the three persons in the Godhead. I don't know how you can argue that point.
First of all,
deny that verse.
Well, I can argue that point on many grounds. First of all, that verse, do you know the history behind that verse? It's very questionable. It's not known to have existed before the 14th
century. Well, then you just made yourself a liar, because I asked you one question. If you believe that the Bible is the infallible Word of God, and you said I do, and now you're bringing question upon this verse.
Did you ever read 1 John 3:16? It says God shed his blood, but the word God there is added. It's in italics. It doesn't belong.
Please explain.
The translator added it.
1 John 5:7.
Are you gonna contest that?
No, I'm asking you. You didn't explain yourself in 1 John 5:7.
Okay. No. Well, you need to explain yourself. I'm not giving it the interpretation.
I don't need to explain it. The Bible explains itself.
Does that verse say that those three titles apply to three different persons that comprise one God, and that all three of them are co-equal and have existed without beginning and have the same position, power, and prerogatives? Does it say that?
What do you think the verse is saying? What do you think the verse is saying?
The Bible mentions the terms Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Yes. But it does not identify them as three co-equal persons that comprise one God.
Well, who are these other two persons?
They're not persons.
Well, what are they?
Not all of them are.
What is the Word?
The person and the Father is a person.
What is the Word?
The Word is Christ.
Okay, and what is the Holy Spirit?
Read the next verse. Tell me what the water, the
Spirit...
What
is the Holy Spirit?
Hold on, I'll get to that. But tell me what the water, spirit, and blood are in the next verse. Those three are one.
You have to look at other scriptures for that, and I will do that.
But if you're going to be consistent, you must have an interpretation for that.
If you look at John 6, I believe it's 63, the Spirit is the Word of God himself. That is the Spirit. The words that I speak, Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are Spirit, they are truth.
The next verse, water, spirit, and blood. Water is a synonym for the Holy Spirit, but blood is a synonym for Christ. Water, spirit, and blood. It mentions the spirit twice there.
The spirit is not capitalized in that next verse. And verse 7 is capitalized.
Why don't you say that that's the Trinity? Do you worship water, spirit, and blood, too?
I worship the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Do you have the Holy Spirit in you?
I tell you what, hold on, stick close, we'll be right back.
Because you can handle the truth.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well thought out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartavite link at rbnlive.com. That toll free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Okay, guys, welcome back to Two Thirds Radio. It's your host, Charlie Giuliani. Dan in Massachusetts. Dan, the point I was trying to make is simply this. If you're going to use 1 John 5:7, whether it's... it belongs there or not. I'm not saying it doesn't. I'm not saying it does. But there are problems with that verse. Just like there's problems with 1 John 3:16. That's not questionable. In fact, when you see italics words in the King James, it means that they're not in the original text.
I agree with you on that.
Right. So, I mean, you can't say every word in there is absolute. You've got to go back to the Greek many times.
No, I'm not saying, you know, the original text. Now we have the, the King James Authorized, and I know there are a couple of words in there that could have been better translated. I agree with that. But
okay, let's just go with the fact that that verse belongs there that you just quoted, okay? My point is this. If you're going to build a doctrine around that, you've got to prove that you've got to prove that there are three persons called Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and that they're equal and have existed without beginning. You also have to answer the next verse. If you're going to interpret that verse to imply a trinity, well, what do you do with the next verse then?
Let me ask you a question, not to get away from that, but let me ask you another question. Do you agree that Jesus and the Father are one God, one and the same?
One and the same in what way?
Because Jesus prayed in the garden. Jesus prayed to God. He says he was praying for his disciples. He was saying... it was in John 17.
I agree with that statement you just made. Jesus prayed to who? You just said it yourself. Jesus prayed to
God the Father, who is with, he is one, one with the Father. He said, I and thee, and thou and me, they are one God. If you go back to Genesis.
No. He didn't say they're one God. He said that they're one. We're to be one, too.
If God is God. And Jesus is in God, one with the Father. There is one God. We read that in the Bible. There is one God.
Right, one God. But who is the one God?
You know, you and I are both sinful men. But there's no way we can dissect and explain God to anyone.
And
we can't do that.
And I'm going to have to cut you off if you don't, please. Just let me finish the statement. In 1 Corinthians 8, Paul says, we know that there are gods many and lords many. He's talking about out in the pagan world, right? They had multiplicity of gods. He says, we know that there are gods many and lords many. But to us there is but one God, the Father. That's all he said. He didn't say there's one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Idolatry had crept into the early church. He wanted to set straight once and for all who this one God was. Did he say, we know that there is one God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? No, he didn't say that, Dan. He said, we know that there is one God, the Father, period.
Okay, I'm not going to argue your point with that.
If you read
through all the epistles.
Let me ask you another question. Wait a minute. You believe the Trinity doctrine.
I don't think the word Trinity. I don't like the word Trinity because it's not in the Bible.
Call it whatever you want. Call it whatever you want.
Three in one that speaks about in 1 John 5:7. There are three that bear witness in heaven. Three in heaven. Who can that be but God himself?
If you're going to stick to that passage as a basis for your belief, you have to be able to demonstrate it elsewhere.
Okay, Genesis 3:22.
There's only two thrones mentioned in heaven. There's the throne of God and the throne of the Lamb at the right hand of God.
Listeners, Genesis 3:22. Would you please read that? You have a Bible in front of you?
Yeah, is that the us passage and the we passage?
Oh, read whichever one you want, and I'll see what it says.
Because that's also in Genesis 1:26. Let us make man in our image. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes. And in Isaiah 6:8, he says, who shall go for us? Who is God speaking about? He's speaking about God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Let me ask you something. Why don't you find the us and the we anyplace else? There's only about half a dozen passages that use that.
That's all that's needed. How many other? That's all that's needed.
Every other reference to God is always in the singular, and so are the pronouns.
No, they're with Elohim. In the beginning, God, in the very first verse of Genesis, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That word, God, if you look it up in the Hebrew, it's Elohim. It's plural. So you're incorrect in that.
Yeah, well, Elohim is...
Elohim.
Wait a minute, Dan. Elohim is a generic term. It's applied to all kinds of entities other than
God. It's a plural word. God is telling us who he is. We don't understand God fully. We only understand what the Bible tells us.
Dan, the word sheep is plural. So I could use it referring to a whole flock of sheep or one sheep. So you could argue that I'm referring to a whole bunch of sheep and I'm only referring to one. Your point is moot. Sorry, it doesn't hold up to close scrutiny.
Can I ask you one last question?
Sure.
In the majority of the epistles that Paul has written, he begins speaking to the churches or whoever, and he says he'll say greetings in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord and God the Father. Why would he put them together if they weren't one co-equal? That would be blasphemy. That's why they crucified Christ, because they accused him of making himself God, which he did, and he never demanded that. If you read that in Philippians chapter 2 of Philippians, he humbled himself, being a man, being equal with God. But he humbled himself.
Read the passages in Philippians 2.
I
have them right here in front of me. Paul, in all of his epistles, opens and closes with the same statement. Blessing to all of you in the name of God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Two individuals. One is God, who is our Father, and one is Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't say, blessings in the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He didn't do that. Neither did any of the other writers in the New Testament. They did not recognize God as being triune in nature.
When Jesus was being baptized in the Jordan, we heard a voice from heaven saying, behold, my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. Do you agree with that? Is that not the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit that descended on him like a dove? Do you deny that? That's in Luke 3, verse 22.
Dan, who's Jesus' father?
He tells us in the Gospel of John, the Father, God Almighty.
Right. Okay. Then how come he's conceived of the Holy Ghost? He should be called the Son of the Holy Ghost, right?
But no, he doesn't call himself the Son of the Holy Ghost. He's called the Son of the Father. Jesus said, when I go to heaven, I will not leave you alone, but I will send the Comforter, who's the Holy Spirit.
If he's conceived of the Holy Ghost, why isn't he called the Son of the Holy Ghost? How can he be the Son of the Father when he's conceived of the Holy Ghost? He should be the Son of the Holy Ghost, right?
That's sinful. We can't do that.
I'll tell you why. He's called the Son of the Father because the Father conceived him in Mary's womb through this power that he has called the Holy Ghost. It's not a separate person from himself. All right,
I know,
Leanna,
this, I know that I love him, and he is my savior, and I'm not mad at you. Don't please, you know, if you and I have raised our voices a few times, I forgive you and forgive me. I'm not mad at you in any way. And these are good things to talk about, so, you know, people can hear and think for themselves and look in the Bible. And I pray for you. I love you, and it's good that I know you believe in the Lord, and so do I. And oftentimes we have different understandings. I would never even think of saying that you're not saved, because that would be sinful. That would make me God myself. So,
I tell you, Dan, go to Lulu.com and get my book, Who is God? Or just, if you don't have the cash, email me at truthearthradio@AOL.com and I can send you a copy. I'd like to hear back from you if you disagree with me.
Okay, and I'll continue listening to you. And I've got, I guess this is the beginning of this discussion. I'm not angry at you, nor will I be. And this is good to talk about this. We're talking about important things.
Seriously, I would challenge you to look at this more close than you ever have before, and you might be amazed to discover
Lulu.com?
Been on the wrong side. What's that?
Lulu? L-U-L-U?
L-U-L-U.com. Yeah, just type in my name, Charles Giuliani, or just type in Who is God? It should come up with that.
Yeah, okay. But I appreciate your time, and keep up the good work, and stand for the truth.
Thanks. Appreciate
it. Okay.
Now, see, folks, there's someone that I could talk to for hours. Even though we don't agree, this is someone who's got a decent spirit, a nice attitude. And I do have to apologize. I get upset sometimes. In this context especially, you shouldn't do that.
Well, you know, that's good, because God did give us emotions, and we should use them. It's just sometimes, well, you know, we anticipate where the discussion may go, like, so we have to maybe pray before him that, you know, we would speak in a gentle, loving manner.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
You know, I get upset just because, you know, I just see this so much with Trinitarians, as they make name call, they make accusations. You don't have the Spirit. You're not of God. And they're not even addressing issues. They won't answer questions that you
put. Yeah, and that's to put yourself in the place of God, to point at somebody. Jesus said to not judge. That's what he meant, to don't judge and say that you know you have the mind of God, because God knows the heart. And
hey, are you far from Boston? You're right in Massachusetts.
Yeah, I live about 15 miles southwest of Boston, a town called Holbrook.
I'm out near Worcester.
Yeah. It's a pitiful state, you know, with the way the elected officials run things. It's just horrible.
Taxachusetts, they call it.
Huh? Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, I got to go to some other callers here. Time is running by. But I appreciate your call. Call anytime. Okay, guys, we're going to go to... Oh, my goodness. Yikes. I don't think we're going to get to all these callers here. We've got... Melissa, I'll save you for last if you don't mind, because we already had you on. We've got, we'll go to Roger in PA first, and then we'll go to Larry in Texas, and hopefully we'll have time, we'll go to Melissa again. Roger in PA, you there?
Yeah, thanks, Charlie. By the way, you can question my salvation or in filling with the Spirit, et cetera, all you want, and I'll try not to waste time with any irrelevancies by asking who made you God.
Okay.
Or other such... irrelevant expression.
Yeah.
Because this is all beside the point. But, you know, we got to accept, presumably we all accept the transcendent reality that God is incomprehensible. He's above our feeble human minds and may ever well be even in eternity.
The mind of God, Paul says, who can understand the mind of God? But we can understand who he is. We have to understand who he is, or else we'd be guilty of idolatry, because we'd be worshiping something else other than what he is, right?
Well, if we accept
the Bible isn't obscure on this matter. It makes it clear who he is.
Well, to exhaustively comprehend God, we would have to be God ourselves probably for all eternity.
Right, and I'm not saying we can do that, but we can certainly know who he is.
That having been said, knuckleheaded attackers and such say that, well, what are merely paradoxes, that is, understood things in the Bible that may even appear to be contradictions, to assert that they would be contradictions. Now, there are all kinds of concepts throughout the Bible that assert various doctrines that go by shorthand names, and I would include the Trinity in those, where the word is never used, but integrative or derivative fashion, you have a hard time finding any exception to the existence of these. You might not find the word that God is transcendent anywhere in the Bible. Yet, because the word isn't used, you wouldn't tell me that God is not transcendent, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So I.
If you could go to your point quick, because
my point is one has a hard time escaping the, and you find such a narrowly small, now even it's possible that even extremely small minorities can be the only ones apprehending the truth. That's the one thing we can apprehend, if not comprehend God. In other words, we're told basically things, and we accept that being from the Word of God that they are so.
If you randomly selected 10 people from some South African tribe who's never even heard of the Bible and give them each a copy, none of them would come out. If you asked them to define for you who God was, none of them would come up with this ridiculous, heinous idea that God is three persons and one God and they're co-equal and exist without beginning, have the same position, power, prerogative, honor, blah, 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 blah. They would not come up with this. None of them.
That's logical non sequitur, if only for the fact that it may take dozens or more years of studying the Word of God to...
I'll give them 100 years. They would not come up with that.
Well, it's such a doctrine
was invented in the 4th century, and people continue to tout it because the beloved religious leaders have crammed it down their throats, and they think it's true. And so they read the Bible with broken prescription lenses and think it's there because they've been predetermined to believe that it's there, but it's not there. Jesus in his Gethsemane prayer, Dan brought this passage up, and it's a good one. John 17:3, Jesus is in Gethsemane, and he's praying, "This is eternal life, Father, that they might know you, the only true God." Now, don't you think Jesus ought to know who God is? He doesn't say that they might know you, me, and the spook called the Holy Spirit, that we are the one true God, that we comprise. No, he doesn't say that. He says that they might know you. He doesn't just call him the only God. He doesn't just call him the true God. He calls the Father the only true God. How about this one? John 4:23-24, Jesus says, "God is a spirit, and they that worship him," not them, "they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, for the Father desires such to worship him." God who desires to be worshiped in spirit and in truth is the Father. Jesus makes it clear. The disciples make it clear. In all of his epistles, Paul greets people, blessing and honor and glory in the name of the Father, God the Father, and in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. He calls God the Father, or the Father God. That is it. There is one. And again, Trinitarians, explain this to me. What does Paul mean when he says Jesus is going to reveal the chief potentate who only has immortality, who dwells in the light which no man can approach, unto whom no man has seen nor can see? That's the Father. Jesus says no man has seen God at any time. Later, he says no man has ever seen the Father at any time or heard his voice. It's the Son who has declared him. This God, who Jesus will reveal, who is the chief potentate, is the Father who no man has seen. People have seen Christ. The Bible says God can't be tempted. Yet we're told that Christ was tempted in all points, yet without sin. How can that be? How can Christ be tempted if he's God? He's not God. He's the Son of God. He asked his disciples, "Whom say ye that I am?" Peter responded, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." He didn't say, "You are the living God."
He said,
"The living God."
Even such as what are called the oneness Pentecostals, like T.D. Jakes.
I'm not advocating that.
I'm saying even they assert that God exists at least in three different forms, but not simultaneously.
Well,
this is
Christ sitting at the right hand of God and have it be the same person. Anyway, Roger, I got to let you go because we're really running out of time. Call back another time. I'll be taking this up again. Don't worry. We'll have time to cover this some more. Appreciate your call. Call again. All right, we're going to go to, who do we got? Larry in Texas. Larry.
Hey, what's up? I don't know if you've ever studied the, Christian identity perspective about this. I don't know if you've got positive or negative about it. My idea is that the Spirit, which in Genesis, God breathed his Spirit into Adam, which that would be the Holy Spirit, it only pertains to one particular race of people on this planet. The scriptures were only written for one people, and that was the Israelites. It was never meant to be translated for every race on the planet.
Testament, God said he raised up Israel so they could show forth his praise. And then he told them, when one joins among you, let him be treated as one who was born of you. And let you know, teach him my ways and teach them to follow in my commandments. So, you know, it was never confined to one race. That's just, you're not going to sell me on that one. Anyway, do you have any more points there?
No, I'm just saying that all the arguments that I've heard about the Trinitarian and that it all ties back to this, I guess the great delusion would be this Judeo-Christianity, which is, you know, greatly apparent on this planet. Seems to apply to all people on this planet. just like they tried to feed us this crap about the global flood, which was not a global flood. So
These are other issues that, you know, are kind of out of the realm of today's discussion. I tell you what, though, I got a bunch of people. I'll let you go, but call back anytime. Like I said, I'll be taking this up again. Boy, this has inspired a lot of callers today. I'm definitely going to bring this up again.
All right, cool.
Okay, thanks a lot. We're going to go to, Melissa, we got another call. I just want to give them a chance, but, you know, hold in there, and I'll try to get to you before the end of the show. We got Don in Ohio. Are you there, Don?
I am now. Okay, I heard the beep.
Okay.
Yeah, how about doing a show on the lost books of the Bible also, and, you know, also get into, you know, different things like the story of Gilgamesh, you know, matching Noah and stuff like that, you know, and go into the time frames and, you know.
Well, you got every...
Excuse me?
Just about every ancient culture talks about the same thing. You're talking about the flood legends? The Gilgamesh flood legend?
I can't hear you.
I'll tell you what, hold on. Get a short commercial break. We'll be right back.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Hi, this is Lance Keltner, and I firmly support Ron Paul as next president of the United States. That's why myself and New Disaster will be rocking San Antonio in support of Ron. It's going to be a great day of music. Don't miss it.
Congressman Ron Paul, champion of the Constitution, is coming to San Antonio July 28th. Come hear him talk about defending liberty at the Buckhorn Museum. The fundraiser starts at 6 p.m. For tickets, call toll-free 866-RON-2008. That's 866-RON-2008.
Hi, I'm David White of the Glorious Dregs, and I support Ron Paul for president in 2008. Please join us when the Ron Paul Revolution sweeps through San Antonio on Saturday, July 28th.
Congressman Ron Paul, champion of the Constitution, is coming to San Antonio July 28th. Come hear him talk about defending liberty at the Buckhorn Museum. The fundraiser starts at 6 p.m. For tickets, call toll-free 866-RON-2008. That's 866-RON-2008.
Playing foolish games, guys, with politicians, with religious hucksters. That's my aim here, is to get people to think outside the box and stop listening to the crap that's been crammed down your throats by the religious hucksters, the political hucksters, the media hucksters, the academic hucksters. They're all lying to you about just about everything under the sun. And unless you start putting things under the microscope and examining everything from scratch, you're going to be a mental slave the rest of your life. And I'm telling you now, I know a good many listeners listening don't believe this, but you are being fooled about the Trinity. And I am going to go into this, I think next month. I'm going to have to do this soon. I was going to be planning to do this later, but I'm going to go into detail on this and break it down bit by bit. And I'm telling you, you will not be able to believe in the Trinity when I'm done. If you will stick it out and listen fully to what I have to present, you will not be Trinitarian anymore. And if you don't believe already that organized religion is a fraud based on their sellout to Caesar with the 501c3 fiasco, this will do it for you, because you will see that they are peddling a false god. But should that surprise you, organized religion has always been this way. The biggest barrier to knowing and understanding God has always been organized religion, and it's every bit as much true today as it was in ancient times. It is and ever has been a lying scam. And the Trinity, guys, you know what the biggest problem of God's people all through history was? I mean, just read the Old Testament. It was idolatry. The Israelites turned away from God and worshipped a false god. They're doing it today. The Trinity is the false god of the heathen. And I will prove it to you if you have the courage and the patience enough to listen through and hear what I have to say. You will not be able to refute what I say. You will have to let go. You will be forced to let go if you really care about the truth. To your beloved, cherished pagan doctrine that was incorporated in the early centuries into the Christian church through Constantine. You know, that call of Rita there, I'm amazed. She complains about Constantine and she admits that that was an evil corruption into Christianity. Well, what do you think all this stuff came from? Anyway, back to, was it Don?
Yeah.
In Ohio? Yeah, did you have another quick point? I'm sorry, Melissa, I don't think we'll have time to get to you, but call back again. We'll definitely be bringing the subject up again, no question. Yeah, go ahead, Don.
Oh, am I on?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Could you also deal with what is Vatican II, or what happened, you know, between evidently Vatican
I? Yeah, it was a big schism. Well, it looks like this pope is turning things around and headed back from whence they came. Basically, it was the liberal arm of the papacy wanting to get away from dogmatism and leaning more toward ecumenism, you know, uniting the churches together. Or if you ask me, that was just a ploy to give Rome power over these churches. And I think maybe now that they have gotten that accomplished, most of your Protestant churches are in bed with the Catholic Church again.
Yeah.
So now that with that accomplished, now I think they're flexing their muscle again. And if a few drop off, fine, but maybe we'll have most of them behind us, because, you know, the churches are so infiltrated now with the Romanism. And, you know, sorry, Catholic listeners out there, I'm not against Catholic people. Many Catholics are very sincere and honest people, and God bless them. But the Catholic religion ever has been, from the word go, a corrupt monstrosity. Always. The whole thing is just filth. And people say, oh, that's because you read the Protestant Bible, you don't read the Catholic Bible. It's the same thing. It's worded differently. The Catholic Bible is just another translation, is all it is.
Yeah.
But you'll get the same message reading it. You can use a Catholic Bible to condemn Catholic belief. You don't need a quote, so-called Protestant Bible.
Yeah, I'm a nonconformist, you know, by nature, and, you know, I'll take it as, you know, do the best you can for everybody else, and also yourself, of course.
Yeah, I hear you. But, you know, it's a counterfeit religion, but I will argue that all of them are. You know, Protestantism is, too. They're all fake. They're all liars. They're all cheaters. They're all stealing your money and pretending to be something that they're not. Anyway, I wish we had more time. Boy, this is a hot topic. Obviously, I got to return to this one. It inspired a lot of callers to call it. All right, thanks, Don. Everybody else, if you call us, Melissa, we'll get you another time. Sorry. Take care, guys. We'll catch you tomorrow.